and do everything by himself and just not be a part of anyone's life. And he didn't know much about this religious group that he was grown up going to church with. And he was asking me, he said, look, I don't know anything about these people. I would love to know what they believe and what they're actually teaching, so maybe I can gain some common ground with my grandson and talk to him and try to get him to change his life a little bit, or actually do a little bit more activity and involvement with other people. Well, I had a couple of things in my repertoire of material, a couple of duplicate things, and I said, this might be what you're looking for. And I gave it to him and I said, it's something that you can read. You might not find all the answers, but you're going to find a little bit of information about what maybe your grandson is dealing with. And I haven't seen him. He hasn't been back since I gave him that material. But the reason I'm telling you this is because this man needs to do his homework. In order to help his son out, in order to teach him which way to go, he needs to learn what his son is dealing with. In order for us to help a rebellious society, we have to understand what that society is dealing with. It goes without saying that we need to learn what the holdups are in this rebellious society, what their upbringings were in the rebelliousness of this society, what people are learning, what they're being taught. There's a man by the name of Johnny Robertson. Maybe you've heard of him. But he's been doing a thing called What Does the Bible Say? A television program and a talk show radio program as well called What Does the Bible Say in Georgia. He's been doing it for years. Well, he was talking about Mark 16:16 one morning on that show. It says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, this woman called in blown away. She was very upset. And she was upset because she had never heard that verse before. She had never read that verse. Nobody had ever read that verse to her. She had grown up her entire life believing that as long as she believed that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient, she was saved. And she lived so many years believing that. But when she learned what that verse was, it changed her entire life. We need to know that there are people in this world that don't know what's expected of them. They may not know that God expects them to live a certain way. If we don't know that, then we can't help those people. They may not be rebelling against God on their own right. They may be rebelling against God because they don't know the truth. It's our homework that allows us to bring that to those people. We just had read for us Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 31, where Jesus talking about discipleship. In this context, he's talking about how people, they're not going to build a tower unless they know exactly how much money it costs to build it, and they know that they have enough money. They're not going to lay a foundation and get halfway done and say, well, I didn't have enough money to do that. Well, kings are not going to send out troops of 10,000 people to fight against troops of 20,000 people unless they have sat down and thought to themselves logically about the outcome of the situation. Jesus said, nobody's going to follow me unless they've counted the cost, unless they've done the homework. The context there is discipleship, but I think we can broaden that context a little bit to say that before we do anything spiritually speaking, we have to do our homework. And Ezekiel had to do it as well, and we need to do it as well. Secondly, Ezekiel is told to be confident in the Lord and in his message. Look at verses 6 and 7. As we continue through the text. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you set on scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Verse 7, and you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. The intimidation factor that goes along with confronting sin can be a huge deal for us. It can be big and cause us actually not to want to confront sin. But I want us to think that as great as our problems with confrontation can be, they cannot be anywhere near as great as Ezekiel's were. And the reason I think I'm saying that is because of the people that Ezekiel is told to go preach to. These people that Ezekiel is preaching to are very well aware of the presence of God and the power of God. We go all the way back to the Exodus where people saw firsthand the power of God in parting the Red Sea and walking on dry ground. People saw firsthand the manna falling from the sky and God giving them sustenance. They saw firsthand water coming from the rock on both occasions that it happened. They saw the power of the Lord on the mountain as He was in fire and smoke and the loud thunder that came. They saw that. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the people were told to tell these things to your children and to your children's children. In other words, carry them those things over into generation after generation after generation. It's possible that the people Ezekiel is preaching to have had great grandparents that have set them down on their knee and told them, look, my great, great, great grandfather left this for me to read to my family. And he was there and actually saw those people, actually saw that power and those signs. We are not people, or the people of Israel were not just walking by faith. They knew firsthand the power of the Lord. We know it as well, but they had a close personal connection to that power. And Ezekiel is told to go to these people and talk to them that have a real close personal connection. Listen, we don't have to constantly beat ourselves up about a lack of success. Sometimes I think we can do that because we've kind of ingrained in our minds that in order for us to be faithful to Jesus, in order for us to be a true servant of God, we have to be successful in our mission. We have to be successful in our evangelism. If we don't convert anybody in our evangelistic principles, then we are not successful in the sight of God and His service. That is not true at all. This is the way that Jim McGuigan said it. I don't think there's any better way to say it. He said it this way. He said, God wanted the people to be told of their state. Whether or not they obeyed was their business. We have been told to tell the story about Jesus Christ. We have not been told to make people follow the truth. As long as Ezekiel carries out his mission in preaching to the people, then he has done what God has asked him to do. As long as we have told people that are rebellious about what God expects them to do, we have been successful in our mission. We don't need to wait on positive reinforcement or positive action in order to feel confident about preaching the message of Jesus Christ. It's just simply preaching it is what makes us right in the eyes of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I want to read these verses very quickly, and then we'll move on. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. When I start reading these verses, you're going to be very familiar with them. You may already know what it is, but I think it's worthy of our time to read these and actually look at what Jesus is saying specifically. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would lose his or would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. The biggest problem with rebellion is they're worried about themselves. They're worried about getting ahead with their own lifestyle and with their own way of life. But Jesus says, if we want to turn away from that rebellion, then we have to pick up whatever is a problem for us, put it on Jesus' back, trust Him, and let Him follow us or let Him lead us through whatever issue we're struggling with. If we can bring that message to a rebellious society, that might be just the very thing that gets them to turn their lives around. Let's be satisfied with a confident effort to change the rebellion of the world. God will weigh the message that we preach and the how often we deliver it. But He's not going to weigh the people that reject it and look at us and say that it's our fault. We just have to simply preach the message and be confident in it. And that's what Ezekiel had to do as well. Next, we want to move on to internalizing the message. So Ezekiel was told to do that as well. In a very graphic way, I might add. We're not asked to do it this graphically, but we are asked to internalize the message. It says, "But you, son of man," verse 8, "But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back. And there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey." If you're like me, you probably get disgusted with the escalation of sin and rebellion in our world today. If you're like me, you might be sitting back waiting on a wall to come, but that wall never does come. You're thinking there's got to be at some point the sin and the rebelliousness of this world is going to stop. Someone is going to say that is in command, that has the power to do so. Wait a minute. We've gone way too far. We're getting way too far out of our boundaries. Something's got to give right now, but it just seems that there's never going to be a place where that happens. And we get disgusted with that sin. As I was reading, I came across something that I think is worthy of our discussion that goes kind of right along with what we're talking about and the way that sin has gone so far-reaching. And it's the 18th Amendment. The 18th Amendment prohibited the use of alcohol. It lasted from January 16th, verses 9 through 20. I'm so used to saying that. But it lasted January 16th, 1920, through December 5th, 1933. And the people hated every minute of it. They griped, they complained, they yelled, they bickered, they fought about this prohibition. They wanted it to be alleviated. People even put on a sign, I found one instance where it said, "I'm not a camel. I want beer. Repeal the 18th Amendment." And they're driving their cars through the streets with this sign strapped to the top of them and people holding them up saying, "We want to get rid of this amendment because we want alcohol to be legal again." And what this led to was people rebelling against this whole idea in the way that they live their life. People began to illegally make alcohol. They began to sell it illegally. They began to illegally consume it. Gangsters began to make it and sell it. It was like a drug to gangsters, just another way for them to make money. And eventually, you know what happened? Eventually, the 18th Amendment was repealed. But you know what stopped it? It wasn't the fact that a bunch of scientists got together and said, "We've done some studies and alcohol really isn't as bad as we thought it was, so we're going to put it back in motion that it's legal again." That wasn't what stopped it. What stopped the 18th Amendment was the rebellion of the world, the rebellion of the people at that time. They fought and they complained so much that they did away with the 18th Amendment. The Word of God in our society today is being treated the exact same way. Rebel against God and get what you want. That's the world that we're living in. There's a man that I'll say a few years ago that he's an NBA basketball player and he came out of the closet, as we say. And people were talking about this all over the news. They're saying, "Well, what are we going to do? How is this going to change basketball? How is this going to change the relationship with his teammates?" And all the ESPN analysts were for this guy. They were saying this could be a great thing for the NBA. This could be a great thing for his teammates. He's put it out in the open. Now they understand exactly what they're dealing with. And this could be a really good thing. There was one guy. His name is Chris Broussard. When they asked him his opinion, he started